sermon to remember. What a joy to be here, and what a great morning, and so grateful. I was just sitting thinking 45 years ago that we were baptized, and still moves me every time. To the people who got baptized today, congratulations. Such a joy. Well done. Beautiful. Today, I want to continue a little bit of a series that we've been doing. I want to equip people. It's kind of becoming my passion. I realized from Ephesians 4 that one of the biggest burdens on my heart is that ascension gifting is supposed to equip God's people for ministry, to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And I want to continue that. We did a few weeks back, we did a how to get words of knowledge. Today, I want to talk about healing, and I want to talk about a five-step healing model that would be helpful for everybody here. Can I just see by show of hands, if you've never tried to minister healing to anybody, why don't you just raise your hand? No shame if you've never just gone, I'm praying for somebody. Now, I want to try and equip everybody here to be confident enough to minister healing if somebody is in pain or is sick and who wants to be prayed for or ministered to. And it's my job here to equip. I told you a story a couple of weeks back. We were in the church and I was teaching on how to get words of knowledge. And I threw out there, well, if you're going to ask the Lord, you might as well ask the Lord for all the details. And you know, if you're going to get a condition, you might as well ask for the name and the birthday of the person. And so there was one young guy there who was 13 or 14. He took me at my word and he came up and he said, there's a lady here. This is your name and this is your birthday. And the whole church was like a little bit, ooh. And then, of course, so I turned to the church and said, is that lady here? Nobody responds. So I turned to him. I said to him, look, this is my life. 70% of my life is right here. I said, don't worry. I'll come to you after the meeting. Because that's what people do, right? They go, you think that's me? Well, I don't know how much more you want me to tell you. You know, anyway. So a lady comes up to him afterward and she says, that's my mother. And he goes, that's your name, that's your birthday. He says, does she have pain in her body? The Lord told me she got pain all over her body. So I'm standing there with this guy, this 14-year-old, telling his dad. He goes, yeah. And so his dad says, so you pray for her? He goes, no. He says, what do you mean you didn't pray for her? He goes, well, they didn't teach me how to pray. They just taught me how to get a word of knowledge. And I realized, I just assumed that you all know how to pray for healing. And that's not necessarily true. So today we're going to talk about how to minister healing to somebody if they need it. Now, this is a five-step model. It was introduced about 40 years ago by John Wimber, the leader of the Vineyard. It's been used by many thousands of people. It's very simple. It's very easy. Now, just to say that I am against sickness or disease, demonic harassment, infirmity of every kind. I am fundamentally preset against it, because I've seen it damage people's lives. And wherever I encounter it, I'm happy to use whatever acid or club I have in the bag. Now, sometimes medical professionals can really help. They can diagnose and they have medicines and sometimes there's surgical options and there's wisdom. And to the medical professionals among us, I just want to say thank you for your diligence. We salute you and we appreciate your efforts. Amen? Amen. Sometimes when there's sickness, I love to use this club. Sometimes when I have a really bad headache, a few tablets are a blessing from heaven. Is that all right? Oh, no, you should never take that. You should trust God. I do trust God, but sometimes this club is helpful. When I go to the dentist and I need a filling, I don't mind a little Novocaine. Yeah, go right ahead. Use your club. I'm happy. Sometimes there's holistic health habits. Sometimes I need some of those. Sometimes I need to sleep better. Probably need to change my eating habits. Maybe get regular exercise. Can't you just wave your hands and I get healed, Greg? Do I have to go and exercise now? Are you okay with this? Sometimes we have to use this club. It's nice. Got a nice little angle on it. Sometimes there's the psychological things that I need. That looks the most psychological. Sometimes laughter, maybe a little gratitude, maybe connecting to some loving people and being in good community, maybe forgiving people the offenses that they've done against me. Sometimes this brings healing. Is that okay?
Yeah.
If my problem is this, this is the wrong club. I don't know what he was trying to say. There were just clubs up there. I don't know what's going on. Now, people who are not believers can go after all of these. They have the same weapons at their disposal, but you and I as believers also have some additional weapons, and these additional weapons have what the Bible calls divine power. We have divine power to demolish strongholds and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. I'm not just into the natural, although the natural is very helpful. I also, you and I, have some weapons of divine power. And sometimes you need to just pull them out the bag and bring them to bear. I want you to know that these are so fancy, they're not called drivers, they're called chauffeurs. These are. We have faith. We have resurrection power of Jesus. We have the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We fight in the spirit against sickness. Some sicknesses are an attack of the enemy, and whether you know that or believe that or not, that's simply the truth. Some are the result of a curse. Some are brought on through our sin. Jesus healed the one guy and said, no, don't sin anymore. Something worse is going to happen to you. James says if somebody's sinned, they'll be forgiven. And then so pray for one another, confess your sins, because sins sometimes bring. Well, if it's a sin problem, this is not going to fix it. We have spiritual weapons that can destroy sickness and disease. So I can fight it in the spirit. Sometimes I allow through my unbelief or through my unforgiveness a sickness to fester in my body. So we can handle, we can rebuke, we can repent, we can forgive. There are many things we can do in the spirit to see healing come to people. But you and I have to learn to use our authority. We have to grow in our faith. We have to practice. I play golf about once a year. It shows. If you play once or twice a week, that'll show too. I was talking to someone recently who is well known for his healing ministry. He said, well, the issue is don't worry. Pray for 300 people and then come back, we'll talk. Just get the first 300 out the way. Learn. Practice. Well, I don't want to do that. I want it to be instant and miraculous from day one. Well, nothing in my life came that way. And this is why we have to remind ourselves with some of the testimonies. We have to go out and say, hey, let me just remind myself. Let me build myself up in the faith. Let me spend some time in the Word. Let me go out and hang with people who've seen healing. Let's talk about them. Let my faith be stirred. Let there be something on the inside of me that has something to hold on to when it comes time for us to minister healing. I just went out into our testimony wall just out there, and I just picked up a few. It's remarkable to me how many people got healed of cancer. Here's one, says, healed my dad of an incurable form of leukemia. Praise God. Just casual, amen. This one says, the Lord cured our daughter. She had cancer, and he opened impossible doors. Praise God. This one said, freed me from depression and anxiety. He loves to set people free. How about that? On staff, we had Sheila Todd, and Sheila, for the longest time, had severe pain in her back and numbness and tingling in her leg and her foot, and she said it felt like her foot was being squeezed to the point of being broken. It's just tremendous pain. And over a period of time, Sheila had gone and seen 8 specialists and doctors about this, and the most that they could offer was like pain, we can try and help you heal, you know, with the pain. but there was no sense of remedy. And Sheila has been pressing in for some years now, but I believe God is a healer and God wants to do miracles. And she's led journey groups here and she's pressed for it. And for a long time, Sheila was in tremendous pain. And people would say, "What's going on, Sheila?" She goes, "Oh, how are you doing?" She goes, "Man, I'm in real pain, but I'm trusting God for healing." And sometimes when she said that, people gave her the, "Time to give up, lady." But a few months ago, Sheila woke up one morning completely healed. Yeah. Amen. And I love that story. You know why? Because she would not take no for an answer. It's like the Syrophoenician woman. No. Jesus said, "Not right. I didn't come for you." Because no, that's unacceptable. Let's try again. No. Go, "But that is presumptuous, Greg." No, it's not. It's somebody taking Jesus at his word because he said, "I want to heal." And she goes, "But Lord, you said." "But you said, and I'm still hurting, but you said." Love that, Sheila, well done. Yeah. This is a war, and I'm gonna use every club at my disposal. Greg, are you for operations? Yes. Are you for medicine? Yes. Are you for praying? Yes. Are you for deliverance? Yes. Anything we can do, any club I can find that'll destroy sickness or disease over your life, I'm picking it up and I'm coming. Because I want to fight sickness and disease alongside you. And here's the beautiful piece of this. It's not just my clubs, but you've got a set of clubs. And God doesn't just need my faith. He can use anybody's faith in the room. Remember, Jesus was there in his house. I think it was Jesus' own house because Jesus had a house in Capernaum. And in Capernaum, they bashed a hole in the roof and they lowered the guy down. And Jesus is sitting there and they just messed up his living room. And he says... And the Bible says, when he saw their faith, he said to this guy, "Hey, your sins are forgiven, you're healed." This guy didn't have faith, his friends had faith. Don't pick on somebody because they didn't get healed, because God could use anybody's faith in the room. If somebody doesn't get healed here, we take responsibility. We grieve. Went too quiet there, let me just say it again. If you pick on one of us, you picked on all of us. And we're not going to just pressure the person who's in extreme pain and under the circumstances and say, "Why don't you have faith?" God can use anybody's faith. Yes. Amen. So now, I just want to say, sometimes people don't get healed. And that's one of the hardest things in our reality. We still grieve the people we've lost. Some of my friends, some people I admired, some people I was close to, lost them. And I still grieve them, and I still feel the loss. We've had people's children lost. We've had friends and loved ones lost. And not one time of that is easy to brush away. Not one do we not grieve. Because we grieve with those who grieve. We mourn with those who mourn, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. I rejoice with Sheila, but I mourn with the people who've lost. We're not callous. We're not misunderstanding. We're at war here, friends. And this war, if we lose, it hurts. But I just want to say, I cannot understand people who say, "You know what, I'm going to use this. I have a sickness and I'm going to use medicine and I'm going to use psychology and I'm going to use healthy eating, but don't pray." That would be offensive to God. That would be presumptuous. I'm going, no. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to break bread. I'm going to come at it with whatever club I have at my disposal, because I am fundamentally presupposed against sickness and disease. It is my mortal enemy. Now, I'm going to run through very quickly, if I can, a healing overview, because sometimes people just need to know, "Hey, what is the plan here, Greg? Is this all important? I mean, is healing really for today?" Because so much theology, so much strange ideas have been mixed in. Sorry, I got to get this done. I'm trying to be smooth, but it's not working. So much poor theology is mixed in that we have now fundamentally taken our habits, we've taken our traditions, and we've made them more powerful than our theology. That's what Jesus said. You make the word of God of no effect because what you have done is you've allowed your traditions to speak louder than anything else. So I'm going to run through quickly some healing overviews to maybe help us. And I, of necessity, have to go through this quickly. There is an entire course on healing on the journey map, which I'd recommend you do. Number one, God revealed himself in his covenant name as I am healing, Jehovah the Rapha. I am Yahweh Rapha. I am healing. And healing was always seen as a blessing in the Old Testament, and sickness is always seen as a curse. There is nowhere in the scriptures where the scripture says sickness is a blessing. Always a curse. Everybody who called, everybody who was in covenant with God and who humbled themselves and called on God received healing. Everybody who turned away in rebellion tended not to have healing. They tended to walk out of the protection and the provision of healing that God supplies. Not because he was mad with them, but because they chose to walk away. Jesus secured healing in the atonement. You guys don't mind, I'm going a little quick, right? Jesus secured healing in the atonement. Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our sicknesses and our disease. And by his wounds, we are healed. You go, oh, that's not talking about physical sickness, Greg. That's talking about emotional stuff. No, because Matthew 8, 16 and 17 says Jesus healed the sick and he drove out demons and he cleansed the lepers. And this was to fulfill what was written in Isaiah 53. Some people think we made that up. That's Matthew. He's the most devout Jewish of all the writers of the Synoptic Gospels. The one who understood Isaiah better probably than most others. He's the one who said this scripture in Isaiah is talking about physical healing. Bible says in Colossians that Jesus is the perfect, the image of the invisible God, the perfect representation of his being. Hebrews 1, the exact representation of his being. In other words, Jesus Christ in everything he was and did was the perfect and exact representation of who God the Father is. And Jesus consistently and always healed everybody who asked for healing. Jesus never denied anybody healing. He said, oh, but what about the Syrophoenician woman? Yes, he did that so that her faith, which he said was great, would be demonstrated. Matthew 4, he healed all those who were ill with various diseases, those who were suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, having seizures, and the paralyzed. Matthew 8, he healed all the sick. Mark 6, the people begged him to let the sick touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Luke 4, laying his hand on each one, he healed them. Matthew 15, woman, you have a great faith. Your request is granted. Luke 6, he went down with them and stood on a level place, and a large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, Jerusalem, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. Every time Jesus sent his followers to go, every time he commissioned them to preach, he commanded them to heal. When he sent the 12 in Matthew 10, he said, go. The 12 that he had sent, those original 12 apostles, Peter later on in Acts 5, the Bible says they would gather the sick because they heard Peter, hey, Peter's up, Peter's coming down the street. They would see which way the sun was flying. They would lay the sick people on mats so that his shadow could touch them. Peter wasn't praying for anybody. He wasn't laying hands on anybody. He was walking down the street. People were jumping out of wheelchairs. Boop, boop, boop. His shadow was touching them. When Jesus sent the 72, Luke 10, 8, he said, heal the sick. In fact, he said, heal the sick who are there. If you go into a place and there's any sick people, heal them. Mark 16, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Now, the post-ascension apostles, when Jesus went back up to heaven, he released some more apostles, and they consistently demonstrated healing as part of the proclamation of the gospel. James, in James 5 says, is any one of you sick? You should come, let the elders pray for you. So listen to this. Doubts about God's willingness to heal today do not come from Scripture. They don't come from Scripture. You can't delve into the scriptures and come out with doubt. You delve into the scriptures, you come out, it's in your face. Healing is part of what we're supposed to be doing. You get doubt by not looking at the scriptures and looking at the circumstances. Now, I want to get into this five-step model, and really it's just a model. Once you've prayed for the first 200 people for healing, you'll find your own rhythm. Okay? Is that fair? You'll figure it out. You'll go, yeah, I don't need that today. I'm going to do this. But for the first 200, this is what I suggest you do. This is what Randy Clark says. Don't let yourself become locked into one model. Remember, the five-step prayer model is designed to help you get started as you pray for someone and can be particularly helpful to those who are just beginning in the ministry of healing prayer. But God will never fit into a box. As helpful as this model can be, it will actually become a disservice if you begin to trust the model more actively than listening to the Holy Spirit's voice. Amen. So, let's get into a healing model. It's called the five-step, sometimes it's called the five-step relational healing model. Fundamentally, when you come across somebody who says, could you pray for me? I'm willing to be, would you ask? I haven't remembered this for many years, but when we were in seniors in high school, so we were 17 years old, which was like 10 years ago, like we were not long. Michelle had a friend that she was trying to witness to at school. She was kind of like the school rebel and had a reputation in the school. And so she came, but she had quite severe back problems. She had tremendous pain. And I remember we were witnessing to her, and she said she's got back pain. We said, we'd like to pray for you. And we prayed for her, and the power of God hit her. And she felt her whole spine and her legs started to tingle. And she goes, she was kind of freaked out. Oh, this is burning. We go, yes, Jesus is healing you. And her leg got healed, and her back pain left. Wow. She got saved. She became somebody who started to tell people, you know, Jesus heals today. People are like, oh, no, he doesn't. Because, no, he does. He really does. When you have somebody who needs healing and you say, would you like me to pray for you? Can I minister to you? And they say yes. Or they say, would you pray for me? This is what you want. Step one is what we call the interview. Step one is the interview. You ask people, how long have you had this? How did it start? Sometimes people did something and it started. They went somewhere. They had an accident, or you know, I slipped, or I went. So we have people went to a witch doctor, and then since then I've had, and you know, well, people do all sorts of silly things, and you go. So it's helpful to know what that is. And remember the guy, the father whose son was possessed by a spirit, the demon's manifesting and throwing the guy around, and Jesus is not worrying about this. He's talking to the dad. He goes, how long has it been like this? And you go, Jesus, can you just, maybe, he goes, no. And they go, oh. And then Jesus just seems very calm. And then because he sees the crowd running over, he goes, wow, we don't want the crowd here. So he just rebukes the demon quickly. Leave him. Boop, gone. That's not the challenge. The challenge wasn't, Jesus is interested in finding out the details. Sometimes we ask people, how long has it been with you? What is the symptoms? How do you experience it? And there are many, the two blind men, Jesus said, come here. What do you want me to do for you? What is it that you're looking for? You know, I've had some people say, oh, I don't want God to heal me. I just pray for skill for the surgeon. That's where their faith is. Right? Sometimes I've just prayed for skill for the surgeon because I don't want to force them. Sometimes I go, do you mind if we just pray for healing? Maybe you don't need the surgery. Sometimes that's too much for some people, because if you've had years and years and years of caked unbelief around your heart, it's difficult to believe for something. So what we're trying to do with this is that our aim is to try to ascertain by careful listening the root of the person's infirmity or sickness. I'm just trying to find out what happened. Where did this come from? Now, some ailments stem from natural causes. We know this: diet, lifestyle, accident, injury. Sometimes as a possible a spirit of infirmity. It's an afflicting spirit. Say, oh, Greg, now time out. I think this is... That was just psychosomatic, and they didn't understand illness, and so they put it all on demons. No, there is a warfare that goes on between your life and my life. If you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, you do have supernatural enemies that are invisible that are going to try and press you, and they are sometimes going to try and press you physically. So it's not a big deal. You just have to rebuke it and say, no, in the name of Jesus, you lying thief, you have to get out of my body. No. Most of the instant healings I've seen has been deliverance related. Yeah. Immediately, yeah. Right? Now, sometimes there's soul injuries, like it's psychosomatic or trauma-induced illness. And some people I was reading, they think about 80% of all illness starts there. Wow. Sometimes it's personal sin. Sometimes people hold unforgiveness against other people and that leads to their personal torment. See, sickness is not all about physical. I'd venture to say it's mostly not about the physical. Now, doctors are very helpful because they can diagnose. Doctors can help us find a name. What did they say is wrong? Because once I have a name, I can make it bow to the name of Jesus because every knee must bow. So it's helpful. So I'm not anti, like what did the doctor say? Now, in the middle of this, I depend on the Holy Spirit and remain in dialogue. Lord, what are you saying? Is there something you want to tell me? Talk to me about this person. I was going to pray for one person one time. The Holy Spirit said, fortune telling. I said, are you a fortune teller? No. Actually, I am. I went back to it because I needed the money. Oh. Well, do you think an Advil is going to fix that? Or do we need to repent and break that thing? Do you understand? So listen to the Holy Spirit. Just listen, there's no pressure here. We're just doing an interview with the person, but it's a three-way conversation. I'm talking to the person, and I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. And they're talking to the Holy Spirit. If they're a believer, let's all listen. What is the Lord saying? Second step is diagnosis and prayer selection. Now, once I understand, once I have a sense of what's going on, I have a sense of what kind of prayer that I should pray. How should I minister to this person? Right? Which club should I be using? Now, Jesus said, heal the sick. He didn't say, pray for the sick. So let me just talk a little bit about healing the sick versus praying for healing. Matthew 10, when he sent the 12, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Luke 10, heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Imagine, let's just for a moment imagine that what Jesus said was true about us. That all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I'm going to send you back into the earth and I give you authority to trample snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And I want you to go and demonstrate my kingdom. Heal the sick who are there. Drive out demons. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead and tell them, this is the kingdom of our God. This is my king in action. So I've been given all authority in heaven, all authority on earth. Now I'm giving it to you. What if you loose it on earth, it'll loose in heaven. You can go. If you forgive somebody their sins, then their sins will be forgiven. Yeah. I didn't make that up. Jesus said that. Yeah. But you know, religious spirit will go, oh, that is impertinent. That is just wrong, Greg. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Yeah. If I was given a $10 million house in Florida on 30A, somebody says, yeah, this is yours, And we're going to pay for it, and everything's paid for. And I go, wow, thank you. And then I go, I can't live in Florida. I go down there for 2 weeks vacation. But then I go, hey, Anthony, you ever want to go to a house in Florida? That's a 10-bedroom. You can take some friends anytime. Just let me know. Tom, you want to go to Florida? I'm on there. You want to go to Florida? It's my house. You can have it anytime you want. Now you go up to Anthony. Are you going to ask Greg for his house? He goes, yeah. That's how impertinent are you? That's just wrong. That's just wrong. I mean, that's so presumptuous. Okay, no, it's not presumptuous. He said, ask anytime. No. You're being way too presumptuous. Who do you think you are? Don't you dare ask him. If you ask him, you're offending him. That's what the church has taught. Don't you dare ask God for healing. God will be a little bit ticked with you if you ask for healing. Don't you dare. That's impertinent. Who are you to know the will of God? Well, I actually believe what he said is his will. That's what he said. Can I just take him at his word? So I want us to go on a little bit of a mission now to just dare to take Jesus at his word and be a little presumptuous. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I'm giving it to you. And I want you to go into all the earth and proclaim this gospel. And I want you to heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and drive out demons and tell them, this is the kingdom of our God. So now I want you to come to a place of healing, because we're coming up. Which kind of prayer should I select? Well, sometimes this person is hurting and they need comfort and they need tenderness. They don't need... Sometimes when I'm ministering to somebody and they just need a hug, and then I have some believer who's, bless God, amen, come here. And I'm like, go away. What's happened is they haven't done any interview. They haven't been sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They just got one club, and they're going to use it, by golly. I need a putter right now, just a tender little tap. I don't need the driver. Am I making sense to anyone? But imagine you have all authority, and what you say will happen. So Greg, I don't think we can speak to sickness. Jesus spoke to a tree. Jesus spoke to a storm. He told us to command mountains. Well, I can't tell the sickness to go. Jesus rebuked the sickness, left Peter's mother-in-law, and she came and made them supper. What happens if you have all the authority? What happens if you're the person, you have the badge, you're in authority, and whatever you say goes? What do you want to do? What do you want to say to the sickness? You have no right to be here in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave. Get up and go. I release healing into this body. I release healing into every sinew and muscle. I break every curse spoken out of this life. I break it in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I've been given authority by my King. And he said, what's been loosed in heaven, I should loose on earth. So this is freedom is loosed in heaven. There's no one in heaven under pain wandering around in heaven like this. I rebuke this thing and I release healing and I break any curse and any is sick. I command every infirm spirit to be gone and broken off this life. I release peace. I release the favor and the blessing of God around this person like favor, like a shield. I thank you, Lord, for healing. Just imagine for a moment, if you took Jesus at his word, how you would pray. It wouldn't be, if it be thy will. I go, hey, it's my will to do this. Well, if it be thy will. What do you mean, if it be my will? I just told you it's my will. Well, I don't want to be presumptuous. When you are being presumptuous, because you're putting your tradition up against my word. In fact, you're putting your tradition above my word. Talk about presumption. Act as though you have that authority. What sins would you forgive? All of them. What sickness would you rebuke and require to leave? What health and healing would you release? What spiritual interference would you allow? None. Remember, listening to the Holy Spirit is the key. And he's going to speak to you, and he's going to whisper words of knowledge, and sometimes he's going to give you wisdom at the end about what to say to people, because he wants to bring people to complete health. Now, it's not all my responsibility, it's not all your responsibility, but we can play a part. Step 3, minister. Pray for effect. Now, Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. There is power in your hands. The laying on of hand is a foundational doctrine. Grace is released through the laying on of hands. Grace for healing, grace for the impartation of gifting, grace for the refreshed refilling of the Holy Spirit, grace for wisdom, grace to appoint people to office. Grace is released when people lay hands. This is a fundamental, basic doctrine of the New Testament. It's in Hebrews 6, it's one of the foundational doctrines. When you lay your hands on somebody, do not expect nothing to happen. Always, when you lay your hands on somebody, expect the power of God to touch that person. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, not everybody Jesus prayed for instantly recovered. There were 10 lepers. Okay, Jesus, heal us. He said, you're healed. Go show yourself to the priest. They're still full of leprosy. What are you going to do? I don't know. I think, is that it? I think that's it. Well, still got this? Yeah. He said, go show yourself to the priest. You don't want to pray again, Jesus? None? Okay. So they walk the 3 miles back to Jerusalem. And in the process, on the way, by the time they get to the priest, they say, look, we're healed. Jesus told a couple of people, go, it'll be done for you. The guy who's come a two-day journey, because my daughter is dying, would you please heal her? He said, she's healed, go. Okay, thank you. When he gets back home, they say, yeah, she got healed 2 days ago when Jesus said. Sometimes I prayed for people. Sometimes I pray for people, and something happened. Something shifted. But they're not completely healed. That's why when people are about 70% better, I just rejoice, man. In fact, if somebody's 10% better, I'm rejoicing. Any difference is good. Difference, change is good. Because I put my hand on them, something changed. This is good. Praise God. But when people are about 70%, I'm not totally healed. I still feel a little pain. Come on. Even Jesus, people took a day or two sometimes. Come, Lord, Holy Spirit, touch this person. Show us what you're doing. It's a great prayer. Minister, watch, pray. When you minister to somebody, watch them. Different things happen. God touches people in different ways. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and be thankful. We've had some times when the only thing we've said is, thank you, Jesus. And we've watched people get healed. And we didn't pray anything. We just said, thank you, Jesus. Boom. Something else. Thank you, Jesus. Boom. Thank you, Lord. Boom. We've had people literally healed with 2 words, 3 words. Thank you, Jesus. Gratitude for what the Lord starts to do is a wonderful thing. Now, we're going to invite the person. You don't need to. Sometimes I have to say to people, I need you to receive. I don't need you to be fighting. I'll fight. You just receive. Jesus come to heal you. Yeah. Calm. We were in Qatar. The Lord gave me this lady's name and her birthday and her condition, and I called her and she came, but she was so freaked out and she was crying and she was so wound up, and I started praying, but she was, I gotta go, honey, slow down. Jesus wants to heal you. He's like called you out. Just breathe. It's okay. I must move on. Step 4. We stop. We re-interview. Jesus modeled this. The guy he prayed for, and he goes, what do you see? He goes, I see the people that look like trees. He come here. There was a guy, there was at Bethsaida. Bethsaida was one of the towns that Jesus denounced because of the miracles were done there and they still had unbelief. And Jesus took this guy, when the guy said, hey, can I get healing? He took him outside the city and he prayed for him. And then because of such unbelief in the city, he goes, I'm getting you out of your environment. Come here with me. Walked him outside the city, prayed for him. He goes, I see trees. He prayed for him a second time. He goes, yeah. And then Jesus wouldn't allow him to go back in the city. So he goes, don't go back there. Don't even tell them about it because they'll mock you. And if the healing's incomplete, you can pray again, second time. We had a moment here, we were praying for migraines. There was a word of knowledge, we prayed for migraines. We had everybody stand, we prayed for migraines. I felt like the Lord said, pray again. And there was a friend of mine who was standing right at the back there. And they prayed around him and he still had the migraine. And we said, pray again. The second time they prayed, poof, instantly left him. And I don't know why that happens sometimes like that. I don't always understand that when I use this club, it hooks to the right. But, you know, if I need the ball to hook to the right, that's the club. Sometimes the second prayer is the one. Ask them, are you experiencing anything? Is the Lord speaking anything to you? Anything come to mind? Ask them, if it's not done, do you mind if I minister again? Can I pray for you again? 5th step is your post-prayer suggestions. Tell them, cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter and the counselor. Do not cooperate with the enemy. He He's the condemner and the accuser. Give thanks to God for any healing, because that's just spiritually fitting and wise. Share testimonies that you have with other people. And often it'll strengthen the breakthrough on your life and in their life. If there are any afflicting spirits, rebuke them and tell the people, listen, if that thing tries to come back, because in a couple of months it's going to come back and try and see if you're amenable, tell it to go away and never come back. And if there are underlying lifestyle causes, maybe you need to say to them, hey, might want to think about not doing that thing again. Go now and leave your life of sin, Jesus said to the one lady. The other lady said, go and sin no more, otherwise something worse will happen to you. Sometimes people, well, I just want you to pray. I went to my doctor the other day and he gave me some medicine, but I don't want to take that medicine. Well, do you want this result? Yeah. Well, then you have to take the medicine. Yeah, but I don't feel disposed to take that medicine. Sometimes we want to come to the Lord and go, well, I don't want to have to repent of sin, just want the healing. Well, the way the healing comes is this is the medicine. All right. So basically, here are the five steps again. We're going to go through them. Number one, you do an interview. Very basic. Doesn't have to be weird. Can I just say, as a fundamental set, when we're dealing with people, we're being compassionate. When we're talking to the Lord, we are humble. When we are resisting the enemy, we're warriors. We're not warriors with the people. Does that make sense? Because sometimes, if I've been prayed for, it feels like I'm the problem. Right? I'm not the problem. I'm the one suffering over here. Could you show me compassion? Could you show the Lord humility? Could you show the enemy anger? Like, let's just get that clear. And I can do all three at the same time. Compassion to people. Man, I'm so sorry you're going through this. Can I pray with you? We love people. We want to see them healed. We love our King. We want to obey His voice. I will fight the enemy to the day I die. We interview. We diagnose. We pray expectantly, or we minister expectantly. We re-interview them. And we give them some post-prayer suggestions. One more time. We interview. We diagnose. We minister. We re-interview. We give suggestions. Not complicated. It's very easy. If you go through that, we're going to trust the Lord to do what He does, and that's release His kingdom power through you. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this right now. So if you're sick with any sort of pain in your body, I'm going to ask you to stand up right where you are. If you have any sickness or disease or something that you're trusting God to break off your life, why don't you stand for me now, please? I don't mind if it's been a long battle. I don't, that doesn't bother me. Now I'm going to ask the people around them. And we're going to take just a few minutes. It's not going to take long. It's going to be a 5-minute little exercise. I want to ask the people around you, just go and stand with these people, please. And I'm going to ask if you're a member of Northlands. So if you're not a member of Northlands, please don't take the lead on these. This is for our members today. I mean, you're welcome to join the prayer, but we're going to ask the Northlands members to be the ones who take the lead on this, because we know and understand them, and we have a little bit of a relationship with them. So if anybody who stood for it doesn't yet have somebody standing with you, why don't you just raise your hand, please? I just want to see. We have some people back here and a lady back there. Can we just get some members to go? There's a couple of people. Just keep your hands up till somebody comes and says, we want to pray with you, please. Anyone else? We still have, All right. So now what we're going to do is I'm going to just pray a quick prayer. And can I just say the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is here today to heal. And if you're full of unbelief, can I just invite you to dare to let it go? Just say, Lord, deal with my heart. Could you remove unbelief? So that's a prayer I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. Lord, to be honest, some of us have caked unbelief on our hearts because we've had prayer so many times and not seen anything. And But Lord, this morning, I just surrender my heart to you and I invite you, Lord, would you remove this unbelief from my heart? Just take it away, Lord. And in its place, Lord, would you release peace into this place? And Lord, would you release supernatural power? Not, Lord, so that anybody can get glory, but that we can bring you glory. Let Christ be magnified in us. So Lord, I pray and release healing in this place today, in Jesus' name, amen. I know we're gonna run a little long, but it's worth the next 5 minutes because I think God's gonna heal a lot of people. So why don't you go and just minister to these people, healing in Jesus' name.